Joining us now, down in Sarasota, Florida, playing in the Guardian Retirement Championship at Sarah Bay, we are joined now by Julia Roth. Julia, how's it going today?
It's pretty good so far. How are you?
I'm doing good. Is it a little windy down there in Sarasota?
It sure is. The wind was blowing pretty hard yesterday, and I think we're going to have the same conditions today, too. So it's a challenge out there.
Yeah, I mean, 2 under par leading the tournament. You're right there. You're 3 shots back at +1, teeing off at just before 1 o'clock this afternoon. So in these kind of conditions, what's the key to getting it around this golf course?
I mean, you know, in general, when it's windy, it all comes down to the short game. But especially on this course, the greens out here are really, really tough. And, you know, if you're going to miss the green, you're going to miss on the right side. And then short game is key out there, and putting too. So, yeah.
You know, when we talk about the Symetra Tour, we all know the main goal is to get on the LPGA Tour. This is year two for you out here. Last year was your first year out there. What kind of was the learning experience for you last year that's going to help you maybe take the next step this year to get to earn your status on the LPGA Tour?
Well, I mean, last year I just learned a lot. Every week was a new week, and it was a new course. And, you know, just to learn the whole lifestyle out here, that probably was pretty overwhelming last year. So this year, you know, I'm going into, and, you know, I feel comfortable. I feel comfortable this year. I know the courses and most of the host families I'm coming back to this year again. So it's just it's a totally different year this year.
Yeah, I mean, the familiarity's got to be a huge thing, you know, especially getting to, and you know, the Symetra Tour actually does a very good job kind of getting you from parts of the country to other parts of the country, grouping things around, making travel a little bit easier. But like you said, just being able to see familiar faces week in and week out, stay in the same place, go kind of through the same routine for the second time, that's got to be something that helps you out. But as well, I understand that you've also picked up a mentor that may be helping you out a little bit.
Yeah, I have. We've been, I met her last year at the tournament in Fort Myers last year, and I got paired with her. She's a former LPGA player, and she plays in the Legends Tour now, so we got paired at the tournament there, and, you know, we just switched contact information, and she lives in Orlando, which I do too, so. You know, we met up last summer, and since then she's been a part of my team, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that's Barb Bucha. And you know, so what kind of things can Barb help you out with? You know, she's definitely veteran, got all the experience. I mean, what kind of little tidbits that you can share with us that the two of you have discussed that maybe has helped you out recently?
Well, I mean, she was on tour for 25 years. She won 5 times, so. You know, it's just nice to have somebody chat with that, you know, she'll live this life and she knows all about it. But what she keeps telling me is, you know, it's a long process and nothing's going to happen, you know, overnight or just over 1 week. So that's probably one thing. And, you know, be patient and make sure you're always working towards your goals and, you know, see your weaknesses and try to make them stronger. And so, yeah, that's probably what we talked a lot about.
Yeah, and I think people sometimes don't realize when they're not seeing week in and week out that y'all out there playing. I mean, we saw that Jason Day was a great player, but, you know, maybe not winning as much and certainly not winning majors until he had discussions with Tiger Woods, and Tiger kind of started texting him and talking to him and having phone conversations. Mm-hmm. And that's a really underrated thing, is just maybe having somebody who's been through there, who not only maybe has the understanding of what it takes to win, but also has the battle scars of all the losses. And that might be something that you learn more is having somebody who's been under the gun and hasn't been able to get it done, you know, sometimes, and then have the ability to get it done and find out just exactly what they've gone through and how they handled it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. You know, it's always nice to have somebody the weeks you don't really play the way you want, or, you know, you don't have a successful week. That's super, you know, nice to have somebody that's gone through that and understand exactly what you're going through. And then, you know, when you're playing well, you always have a lot of people that try to talk and text you or whatever. But those weeks when you have a little tough out there, those are the weeks when you really you really appreciate the people you have around you.
All right, so when we start talking about the transition from year one to year two, did you take an opportunity after you've played in the tour championship last year to kind of sit down and evaluate your game? Did you do that, or do you kind of do that on a week-to-week basis to maybe find out, you know, where things didn't go as well or what pieces of your game you may need to work on?
Yeah, I mean, I do that weekly, you know, with those stats and, like, also, like, how I feel like I did that week mentally and all that. But, yeah, of course, I mean, after Tour Championship last year, that I went to Q School right after, and, you know, my season didn't really end until December. So, yeah, of course, after final stage, I really sat down and, you know, analyzed and looked at parts of the game that I need to, you know, work on or where I want to be and, you know, all that. So, yeah, but, like, the season is so long, so you try to, at least I do it, and I think a lot of players do, like, weekly, just to see, like, if you're moving in the right direction.
All right, so when you take a look at your game from a high level, what's the best part of your game, and what's the part of your game that you're really working on to improve?
I know I need to get more greens to be able to make more birdies out there. So that's one part of the game that I'm working on. Part of the game that's strong and it's my short game and putting. So.
Right. Yeah.
And which also helps this week for sure.
Yeah. With the wind blowing, it's gonna be who survives the short game. I mean, you know, you may hit a good shot and it may end up in a bad place. So it's all about survival at this point, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a grind out there for sure, and that's what you see when you look at the leaderboard too. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you start talking about the short game, what do you consider the short game? I know there are some people that consider, you know, chipping, putting, bunker play, short game. How far out from the green do you consider short game? Is it all the way back to 50 yards? Might it even be back to 100 yards that you might consider the short game? What's your definition of it?
I mean, short game for me is like, you know, it all depends, like, on a hole and all that, too, but, like, probably about, like, 40 yards and in, but, like, I worked a lot of, like, different chip shots, so then we're talking, like, you know, you just missed the green or you're in the bunker or something like that, so, like, I think that's probably, you know, a short game when you ask me.
Right. When you play in the pro-ams with the amateurs, what's the mm-hmm. What's the biggest mistake that you see amateurs making right now? I know there's probably a laundry list, but what's the big thing that if you sat down with an amateur, you know, and just saying people that you've played with, what's the biggest thing that you could tell them that would help them in the game of golf to get better?
You know, I think in general, a lot of amateurs, they spend a lot of time on the driving range, and, you know, everybody wants to, you know, flush shots and pure shots and all that. So I would probably say, you know, take some time on the time you're spending on driving range and put that on the putting and chipping green instead.
Yeah. So, you know, I know Mike always likes to ask the question of, if you had an hour on the range to work on your game, how do you split it up mm-hmm. between full shots, putting, chipping, bunker play? I mean, how do you break up your time if you only had an hour to spend on the range?
Well, you know, in general, I probably spend like 70% of my, well, 60-70% of my short game. So I'm not a huge range person, but you know, especially now we're in the season, I don't really believe in, you know, making swing changes now. So I really think that, you know, whatever you have in your bag for the week, that's what you're gonna have to play with. So if that's a draw for today, well, you just gotta play with the draw and, you know, accept it and don't try to fight against it.
All right, so teeing off at 12:57 this afternoon, give me a feel. It's 9:30 right now. Mm-hmm. What's your schedule going to be from 9:30 up until 12:57 when you tee off?
Well, I'm at my host family's right now. I'll probably leave it around a little before 11. Head to the course and you know, do my routine now. Always putt first and then go chip, and then ended up with hitting balls and then. Be ready.
All right. So when you're after you do the chipping and the putting and you go over to the range and you're hitting the full shots, do you some people have this, you know, have a really set routine where they'll hit like eight, you know, 60 degree wedges and 10 pitching wedges and work their way up through the bag. Do you have a specific number of balls that you like to hit with certain clubs, or do you just kind of feel it out? I mean, if you hit, you know, six or seven lob wedges and everything seems to be going good, you move up to a wedge, or, you know, you go to a seven iron.
Yeah.
Do you just kind of let it play out, or do you have a specific routine that you go through each time from a superstitious standpoint?
I mean, I do have a routine for sure, but it's not like, you know, it's a crazy routine where I know exactly how many balls I'm going to hit with my nine iron and stuff. I'm a fill player, and that's how I practice too. So I do have a routine, but it's not like, you know, this amount of shots with my seven iron before a round.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's more like, you know, feel, get a good rhythm and feel in, and, you know, feel like my swing is where it's supposed to be and all that.
Well, I've got some really good news for you, too, because it seems like everybody that we have on the show gets the what we call the Golf Shop Radio bump. So they start playing really well after they've come on the show. So good things are coming your way. And as a matter of fact, I think at least seven or eight of the players that got their LPGA card last year came on the show last year. So you have, you know, you have that to look forward to. So how's that?
That sounds great to me.
Well, Julie, we really appreciate you hopping on with us this morning. Good luck this afternoon, and good luck the rest of this weekend, and we'll see you here in Charlotte.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot.